everyone. Okay, I've got like people at the front saying hello. Hello, everyone. Okie dokie. Everyone's here for the first Sunday of this year. Oh, did I just rhyme? What?
What?
What? Where was I during the Christmas party? I know. But anyways, welcome to Freedom River Outreach. I see a lot of new faces, but then that could just be me because I'm kind of new here. But anyways, welcome to everyone who's always been here, and welcome to the people who are here for the first time. So, without further ado, we're gonna go straight on to fro-announcements because that's how we roll. And our first fro-announcement would be prayer events. Now, what better way to start a new year than to start praying? And I got a couple of amens up front, and I'm guessing everyone else doesn't agree. No, I'm just kidding. So anyways, this coming Tuesday, we've got a early morning prayer, which means we start at 6 a.m. And throughout the month of January, we have 7th of January, which is this Tuesday. 14th of January, that's also 6 a.m. 15th is on from 4 to 5:30 p.m., not a.m. So don't come here at 4 a.m. and say, how come you guys are not open? Yeah, it's 4 p.m., okay? So keep that in mind. And that's the only 4 to 5:30 p.m. on the 15th of January. 21st and 28th, we're going to continue having it at 6 a.m. So keep that in your calendars. Please come if you can. It's great to come here, and then if you work, you can go straight to work afterwards. It's a great way to start the day. So, women's Bible study. Okay, let me try that again. Women's Bible study! There you go. There are a lot more women in here today, so I wanted a little bit more woo, woo! Okay, so every week at 9:30, there is a women's Bible study. Not here, it's at Starbucks. I mean, how lucky are you guys? So the Starbucks is on the 106th and Pacific. All ladies are welcome. And if you have any questions, you see Kathy or Marsha. And if you don't know who Kathy or Marsha is, ask anyone around and they'll be like, oh, that's Kathy and that's Marsha. Okay? Cool. So the next phone announcement, prayer team training class. Oh, yes. And that's starting this Tuesday. Now, if you've gotten original design before, which is awesome, by the way, because it does not stop there and it keeps coming back. Like I remember a couple of weeks ago, I had to really check myself again, and you know, God was telling me, Dave, you know, you're getting passive again. And I was like, oh, I don't want to admit it, but I know it's true. And I had to go through it again. And I'm so grateful for the original design for, you know, breaking strongholds and, living free. And so this prayer team training class is actually training you a little bit more on how to pray for other people. And we want everyone to be able to pray for each other. Isn't that great? Like, we don't want just, you know, to wait for, I mean, it's great that we can wait for Pastor John, Pastor Dennis to pray for us, but at the same time, we're all given the same Holy Spirit. Isn't that what we've been learning? So that's amazing that we can learn how to pray for each other in such a way that it will be uplifting and it will be exhorting. Awesome. So that's starting on this coming Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. So please don't, you know, confuse this with early morning prayer. But it's at 6:30 p.m. It should be in the fellowship hall, where we have snacks and everything, coffee after church anyways. So if you didn't know, that's where we have snacks now. Awesome. And the next for announcement is 21-day Daniel Day fast. And last week, Pastor John gave an awesome sermon on what the Daniel Day fast is and what it entails and what it does. It's just an amazing step of faith as a church to start fasting in the new year and just saying, hey, God, we want to press closer into you. We want more of you. So, and Kathy's going to come up and say something about it.
Okay, so one thing that we're trying to do for a little more breakthrough is to read a book. And so I have a low variety of books over here if you want to come see me after the service. And from devotional to a little heavier duty to also just heroes of the faith. And so just really encourage you to try to read one book. Do it with John and I. We'll read one together and just come together. And I think you'll really be encouraged by that. And I have more books coming. I have a really good book coming, Placebo. I thought it would be here this week, but it's coming in on the 9th, and I think you would really be challenged by it.
Well, awesome. Thank you very much, Kathy. So during this time, we're not just kind of fasting and just being like, okay, I'm not eating this. Okay, I'm not eating that. No, we're actually praying. When we need, when we want something and we're denying ourselves it, and we're pressing closer into God, you know, God really starts moving. So, yeah, everyone join in and see Kathy about grabbing a book afterwards. I think this is our last pronouncement, and they've changed the title, which kind of bumps me out because I liked saying, Everyone say, Because it used to be Marsha's Movie Night. So saying, was much better, but now it's called Marsha's Fro Family Movie. So I'm going to have to come up with something else for that. But anyways, January 12th, it's going to be after church. So that's next Sunday after church right here. We're going to have hot dogs and drinks over in the fellowship hall after church. And then we're going to come back here to watch the movie Overcomer. If you haven't watched it, apparently it's really good. I haven't watched it. That's why I say apparently. But apparently it's really good, and I'm really looking forward to this movie night. And do we have vegetarian hot dogs? We will work on it. We are going to work on it. The people have spoken, and we will work on it. How many vegetarians in the house? Gotcha. So, yeah. So, basically, expect pretty meaty tasting vegetarian hot dogs. Brussels sprouts. There you go. We're going to have Brussels sprouts and roasted veggies on a tray with olive oil and a bit of salt. It's going to be lovely. But, anyways, we're definitely still going to have popcorn, so please do come and join us next Sunday after church. Now, if everyone would like to stand up for worship, but before we do, turn to the person next to you and say, hey, good looking. I'm so glad you're here today.
We are about to start Daniel's fast. And I was standing in the presence of the Lord and contemplating and trying to listen. And I feel, and this is what God is saying to us. It's really interesting, the words and the phrase that came into my mind as a 2020 is being embarked. And Lord, what do you have for us? What is there for us? How, you know, we like to know everything, don't we? We like to know exactly, all right, in January, this is going to happen, in February, you know. But there's a specific directions I think God is really taking us. And it's really interesting because this verse came into my mind is from the Isaiah 58. You know, we are doing, you know, our church verse, Luke 4:18, you know, to set the captives free, you know, to loose the band of wickedness. When the anointing is, Lord is upon us, that's what's going to happen. And Isaiah 58 is really same thing. But once that in my heart, that this is what God is saying. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, and the pointing of the finger, and the speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as a noonday. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And the Lord, it says, here, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. And get this, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach. You know, when I heard that, it's like the light went on, it came on in my mind. Yes, there has been many places in my life that there was a breach of the enemy. My enemies came, attacked us and stole us, our joy, our blessings, many things. There was a breach. But God is saying, you shall be called the repairer of the breach. We're going to fix that, and we're going to kick the enemy out. And in 2020, when you call upon the Lord, and God will say, here I am. God will say, I am right here. And you will hear, and you will witness, and you will experience the answer and the blessing of the Lord this year. And I'm proclaiming, I'm in faith. I'm speaking the faith into all of us that we are going to witness the glory of the Lord. We are going to witness the answer to the call from us, and God will answer to your prayer. Amen. Let's rise and let's really give the Lord prayer and glory. And as we pray for offering, and I don't want to get too much carried away. Heavenly Father, we want to really praise you. We are so excited to hear that we are going to be called the repairer of the breach. As we look back into our own lives, Lord, there has been many places there was a breach. Enemies trying to steal and kill and destroy so many areas in our lives. But we proclaim in the name of Jesus, no more. No more of a breach. No more of this losing this blessing. And Lord, I claim in the name of Jesus, I am the repairer of the breach. There's not going to be any more breach from now on. And we're going to call upon your name because you're going to answer in your promise. Lord, thank you so much. We praise you in the name of Jesus that we will be witnessing the glory of the Lord. Lord, thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory and this offering in our hearts, in our lives. Receive the worship in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's kind of keep that worshipful thought and attitude. Adriana actually has a word for us, and so I have a live microphone here, so I'm trying to not give the guys in the back too much of a fit with feedback. But I think you know Adriana. She's, yes. Okay.
Yeah, good to see everybody again. It's really good to be back, and I just feel such an anointing of the Lord on this place, and it just really touches my heart in a special way. So as I was sitting back there, I really felt the Lord give me a word to tell people, do you know that you matter? That was kind of do you know that you matter and your choices matter in your life and in the big scheme of things as well? And it kind of, there's like this big ripple effect to all of our lives. And some of you have, you know, callings on your life that God is really serious about, you know, and he put you here for a reason and a season. You're here for a time such as this. And I really felt God was just exhorting people to say, do you know that your choices matter, that you matter? And do you know how much that I love you and that I'm, and God's got your back. You know, he's got your back. And I just sense that some of you, all of us, are in always making choices, always in a valley of decisions. You know, there's decisions to make every day. And I just feel like God wants you to be mindful of that, that you're not just making them for yourself. You're making them for the greater kingdom of God and the good of others. And so your choices matter. And, you know, every time you obey the Lord and you're doing what's right, you're not only strengthening yourself, you're strengthening others. You know, but if you listen to the enemy and you fall, you know, you could be causing other people to fall too, not just yourself. So that was kind of it. And that verse that says, don't give the devil a foothold in your life. Don't let him in. He's gonna cheat you. He's going to cheat you of your blessings, and God wants to give you, like, amazing blessings. So that was it.
Thank you, Adriana. Bless you. Amen. I have the church calendar, I think. Yes, there it is. Wow, 2020, can you believe that? And I hope you've been listening to the news. We're not supposed to abbreviate that when you write, because it's too easy to add a date after 20 and make it, you know, falsify your document. So I guess for a whole year, we have to write out 2020, write it all out. So there's our little safety tip. All right, things are coming together for January. We have our prayer team training class starting this Tuesday. Please prioritize that. And if you have taken it before, it's a great, we need you. It's a great brush up, absolutely, but we need you to come and help lead the teams that will be just starting out and beginning. And ministry just seems to be ramping up, and so we need more and more people kind of understanding our scope and sequence and order. I know you know how to pray, so it's not teaching you how to pray, but it's going to give you a little bit of the strategies as we pray for people's original design and what would come against that original design. So other than that, we're back to full speed. Oh, early morning prayer all this month. That's the 6 a.m. in yellow. And then on the 15th, we have our family prayer time. So come, and if you'd like to receive prayer, that is always an option, but or help pray for others. So besides that, I think the movie, Marsha's movie, is going to be next Sunday after church, so make plans to hang out and fellowship and try those vegan hot dogs they're going to come up with. Yeah, amen. Hey, today's going to be, this is a fun announcement. Yeah. Yes. And I put the conga drums up there, just a kind of a little subliminal Santiago. We need to build our worship team, so he'll grow into those. Hey, church family, you know, last week we did lose Mae Ferris for a temporary time here on earth. She went to be with the Lord on New Year's Day. So this is life, and kind of, yes, the fun news that Santiago was born 2 days ago, I think, now. And we need to pray for him, because Kathy and I went up to the hospital this morning. Olga is discharged and doing well for just giving birth. But little Santiago's blood sugar is not stabilizing, and it's dipping down to dangerous levels. And so, literally, while we were there praying for him this morning, they were going to put this little guy, almost 8 pounds, so little guy, they're going to put him on an IV to stabilize that, which means he's got to be in the hospital for a couple more days, which is hard on mom and dad and the whole family. So we prayed for them, and unfortunately, they're not in a place where they could take visitors right now. They're in the intensive care for babies. So we need to pray from here, and we'll keep you updated, church family, as we can. I know those of you that are on our prayer chain see all the prayer requests coming through. I just want to report Brian Hamilton is doing better. He does have a pneumonia, but caught it early enough that he's got sent home. And so we just kind of need to stand up and say, God, we cash in that credit card, that John G. Lake credit card that says healing and exceptional health. And we just want to pray that. So could you stand with me and we'll just agree. And of course, I don't know every prayer request. I might have missed a few, but I just want to pray for healing and health, and that we aren't saddled with the distraction of that. We, as Adriana told us, you are significant, and we got some things to do. And these tents, we know they're temporary, but we need them in order to carry out the things that God would have us do. So this is not a vain prayer. Jesus, we're praying in your name for your heart. And I spend freely that credit card, that equity earned by someone else, and the history we have in this state of John G. Lake and the healing rooms. And we call that forward right now, and we say, God, we ask for exceptional health. We ask for strength, for a supernatural capacity. We get it. We know that the biology and colds and flus and pneumonias and all those things. But God, we are your people called by your name, and we humble ourselves and we pray. And God, we are willing to turn from our wicked ways and seek your face. So as Pastor Michael shared, hear our prayer from heaven. Hear our prayer, and may our healing break forth like the morning sun. It's a dawn. It's a new day, 2020. And we just believe for little baby Santiago that as we are right down here praying up the hill, his blood sugars are leveling out. Amen. And the doctors are going to say, what happened? Something changed. And this little guy gets to go home and be with his extended family. So, God, we pray that kind of miraculous touch. That's your heart. I know it. I believe it. So, God, we look to you for this healing in Jesus' name. The whole church together said,
amen.
Amen. All right. Amen. Yes. This is going to be a little different of a Sunday, in that it's been a couple months since we were in our study in the book of Acts. And we're going to put a little bookmark right here in that study, and I'll explain why in just a minute. But I have a testimony for you that I think is going to really set the stage and really kind of even be a backbone for the conclusion of today's sermon. So I kind of want to start with this, and then I'll do the introduction of why we're kind of doing a little bit of a turn from Acts and into Galatians and then back again. So Christine is, come on up. She has volunteered. I'm so proud of her. Christine actually shared this Thursday. Come up here so everyone can see you. She shared this Thursday at the food bank, and I was blown away. I think everybody that was there was blown away. So I got home, and I wrote an email to Brenda, and I said, please, 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 can Christine share this with the whole church? So she said yes.
Okay, first, I just want to say every one of you guys is wonderful. If it weren't for the members in this church, I wouldn't be able to even stand up here and talk in front of you guys. So 6 months ago, I would have told you that going through a divorce was the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life. Standing in front of you today with 6 months clean and telling you it was the best thing that ever happened to me. So I went to court on the 2nd of this month, and I was facing jail time for violating a no contact order with my husband. Prior to this, I had spoken to some friends, and I was warned about a particular judge. She likes to put people in jail. So I went in there hoping for the best, praying for the best, and expecting the worst. And what do you know? I got that judge. Miss Brenda went with me. Thank you very much. So I presented her with everything I'm going through. Brenda got up and testified as well. And so instead of 30 days in jail, the judge stopped the hearing and told me that she commended me and she praised me and that she was proud of me. She said, I've been doing this since World War II, and I don't get cases in front of me like you. I don't. She said, there's a light in your eyes, a smile on your face. It took courage to come in here and not knowing what was going to happen. So not only did I not get jail time, I only have to do 7 days a day reporting. She pulled my fees out of collections and wiped them away. And restraining orders are getting dropped, and praise God. I love you guys.
Now, don't go away. We want to. And Brenda, will you come on up here? I see you're getting up, but you're going the wrong direction. When I heard this testimony Thursday, I thought, well, Lord, that's what I want, is people to look at me and say, I see light coming out of you. That's what the judge actually said that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish I could have recorded it. It was epic.
This is why I thought, you know what, we're going to do a little right turn here and go into a study of Galatians, because it's one thing to be called by the Spirit. It's another thing to live in the Spirit to where people can recognize it. And Christine, thank you for sharing that testimony. I'm so proud of you. And that is just praise God that here somebody from World War II era. I didn't know that part. could see that in you. And so I think everybody knows Brenda, but if you don't know Brenda, you need to know Brenda. Yeah. Another hero of the faith. But we just want to pray over you, Christine, and just bless you for such a courageous testimony. Is there anything you want to add, Brenda, or? Okay.
I would just say it's true. They were, the judge and the district attorney were actually bending over backwards to try to accommodate her and thinking of future things that could come against her. It was just a beautiful thing. You could just see favor with the courts. God showed up.
And when that happens, you feel that shift, don't you? I mean, you walk in and it's...
She made me cry.
Yeah, you walk in and it's like, no, business as usual, where it's like, you know, no warm and fuzzy. But then when that favor breaks through, everything changes.
And also with our program, because they did question the fact, oh, well, you're not state certified, and it's like, well, because we're faith-based, it doesn't mean that we're not an exemplary program, and they were able to see that we exceed all of their requirements above and beyond, and so they graciously accepted a non-secular program that's not court to meet all of her requirements. And so we always love it when we can make inroads, in the courts in that direction. And again, the judge could see. I mean, she just couldn't say enough. She was just really in awe that she was so calm. The Spirit just emanated. So it was a beautiful thing.
Amen. We're going to pray for you. So let's stand. And if you want to come help us out, lay hands on Christine. Part, it is a church family that makes this investment. So, Christine, thank you for your courage and your testimony and your giving glory to God. We come around you and lay hands on you as your family and say, we love you. And we know the Lord loves you and is so proud of you. And this faith, this light that the judge described, we know it as our Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is so powerful in you. And as you have made choices, they've been faith choices, and you have taken steps of faith. So God, we pray more success, more favor, more open doors, that you will promote your daughter and that you will bless her abundantly, God, as you expand the tent pegs and just provide for more ability and capacity in her to receive your blessing and your promotion. In Jesus' name, the whole church together said, Amen. Amen.
to go through, like, oh my God.
Well, as I was kind of prepping you for, we're going to do a study here on Galatians. We'll come back and finish Acts. We left off about chapter 20. But this is one of my key verses. Galatians is going to be one of these books that we're going to find a key verse every week. And you're going to say, wow, this is the verse. But this is one that's kind of driving me and making this quick decision. And literally, I think it was Thursday morning, I was asked Tom and Marcia and John Selfers, we were back there praying. I'm just saying, you know what? I'm just feeling like for this next Sunday to do a little switch here. So Galatians 5, we're not going to cover this today, but it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And with 2020, I think that's all of our hearts is like, okay, we get it. Holy Spirit, we love you. And man, we come together and we have these super cool services. And I mean, I'm feeling the zing and I'm like, let's go. Let's take the enemy's camp. Let's go, you know, let's charge up the hill. You know, I just feel like there's nothing that can stop me. And then, you know, 2 days later, life kind of creeps in and you're tired and, you know, life happens. And you're going like, wow, how was I so on fire for the Lord? And then, you know, just 24 hours later, it just starts to kind of drain out. So I like to approach Scripture very practically anyway. And this study, I just want to prepare you the way I kind of approached it, and some of the other teachers that are also going to teach out of it, is just very life practical. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit. What does that mean in doing life? Going to court. That's why Christine's testimony was so powerful. One statement the judge actually said, I'm surprised you came today knowing what could happen. You know, it's like, yeah, we have decisions to make, don't we? And we're like, you know, yeah, some bad things could happen. But I'm going to go and stand on the foundation of the good news of the gospel. I'm going to go and trust myself to the Lord. And I mean, I don't know Christine's thought process, but maybe she was thinking, you know, maybe the Lord wants jail ministry, which we already have, but you could always use more of a boost, right? So the point being, as we are motivated and as we are determined for 2020 to not only live in the Spirit, we want to walk in the Spirit. So our key verse for today is out of Galatians chapter 1. And if you want to follow along in your Bibles, we're going to do Galatians chapter 1 today. But it's a greeting. I greet you with great words of grace and peace. And by the way, we always need a dose of both of these. We know the meaning of those words because Jesus Christ rescued us from this evil world we're in by offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Now, this is from a dear writer, Eugene Peterson, who wrote a translation of the Bible called The Message. So it's going to be a little different version than you might be familiar with. But I love this translation, and it's very responsible, by the way. God's plan is that we all experience that rescue. And I know you, and I know what God has been doing around here, and that is part of all of our testimonies. Thank you, God, for rescuing me. And as we even study Romans, which Dennis did an awesome job Thursday night, and I know sometimes it can be a little, you know, confusing as Paul's talking about Gentile Christians, and he's talking about Jewish unbelievers and Jewish believers and all these people groups that we may not be familiar with. Here's practical insight number one. The Word of God is very clear on this. God's heart is that all of us get rescued. All of us experience His love and freedom from the sin and death that sin leads to. So, Galatia, this is basically a little Roman province, and in Acts about chapter 13 and 14, Paul and Barnabas did a missionary journey to this part of the world, which is today's kind of the middle of Turkey, and they visited these towns, and we went through this again several months ago since we were in Acts 13. But all of these places were in the Roman province of Galatia. So they're different towns, and you know, it's like all the cities in the same state. So when the Gentiles, meaning non-Jewish believers, heard their message, they were excited. God loves us. God would take me. I'm an outsider. I'm steeped in sin. Man, talk about misfits. But you traveled all this way just with this message to say that God provided a way to restore a relationship with me. Yeah, I'll sign up. I'll take that. That's the message? My sins are forgiven? Okay. And what's the cost? Oh, no cost. It's by grace. It's purely God's grace. You can't earn it. Even if you tried, you couldn't earn it. Okay, where do I sign? I'm in. Wow, they received the message. They were excited, whereas the Jews are like, well, I don't know about that message. Don't you have to do all this stuff? Don't you got to wear all this special clothing? Don't you always got to stand this way and pray this way and talk this way and do the stuff? Well, that wouldn't be grace, would it? If you had to do anything for God's salvation, it would be works, meaning you are earning it. And so sometimes the most religious have the most difficulty receiving the good news of the gospel. So to paraphrase, they received it. They're excited. Paul and Barnabas said, hey, time for us to leave. That must have been tough, isn't it? It's kind of like, what? You brought us this good news. You brought us this insight that God loves us. We love you. You've been doing ministry with us. Now you're moving on? Yeah, that's part of the way it works. We're going to be together for eternity. But God's kingdom is one that is ascending kingdom. It's not us and no more. It's not, let's just kind of see how big of a little group we can build right here and not send anyone out. No, our heart is to hold our hands wide like this and yes, care for anybody and everybody, but also allow God's blessing to flow through our fingers to others. It makes me think next week will be Jesus and Denise last Sunday here, and so we'll have a little send-off for them, but it really is a promotion, and it really is this principle of, wow, the gospel is being furthered and promoted and going forth. And I know sometimes we don't necessarily feel good about that, but hopefully you understand that it is the right thing. And it's kind of like that child that grows up. There's a time for them to leave the home, right? You know, it's like, hey, teenage years, okay, this is great, but after a certain age, it's like, hey, I love you, but time for you to go out and kind of build your own home and make your own way. So that all is kind of the background to this letter to the Galatians. The new gospel of salvation by faith through God's grace is received by these Gentiles, but then suffers backlash after Paul and Barnabas leave. And they're hearing reports of this. So Paul writes this letter to the Galatians to refute the Judaizers. And the Judaizers are just basically the term given to these people that kind of came in and say, hey, we hear you guys are now followers of God. And they go, yeah, Jesus Christ, his son who died for our sins so we can freely have this relationship with God. Oh, no, that's wrong. You got to become a Jew first. So, and basically their big issues were diet. It depends on what you eat, and circumcision. So you do those two things, and then you're good to go. But again, hopefully you're seeing through this already. You're like, man, if I'm having to do anything, it's not grace. It's not free. Now that messes with your brain. It messes with mine. And the more I think about it, the tougher it becomes. And that's one of my goals for the study through the book of Galatians, is for this brain to get grace, to get it. God really does love me. Quit pushing back. Quit picking up all the old stuff. Quit looking back at all your sin and failure. Receive it. Walk in it. Quit dragging that dead body corpse of your past around with you. Okay, grace means I didn't earn it. There's nothing I could do. Even if I sat in my chair for the rest of my life and never did anything more for God, His love for me would still be complete. That's how grace messes with your mind. Because there's something in all of us that wants to earn it. That wants to participate. And that's what these Judaizers are so comfortable with. They're so comfortable with their religiosity. They just couldn't handle that these foreigners are now walking with God. All right, the matter gets settled in Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas, by the way, went back and met with the apostles. And Acts 15 is really about that. They're really, regarding the Gentiles, hey, guess what? They don't have to become Jews first. We're all Jews that told them about Jesus, that shared the gospel with them, but they don't have to become like us to receive the good news. Now, to you and me, that may sound like, well, obvious, yeah, duh, but this actually took a meeting and had to be determined, and I was so grateful in my trip to Israel last year. I actually got to go to a ministry, they call it a messianic ministry, meaning Jewish people that worship Jesus. And it was really cool and a really powerful experience for me because they were basically Jewish, but they were Christians. So they were worshiping Jesus just like you and I worship Jesus. The only difference was their ethnicity, what they were born in. So you and I are going like, okay, ethnicity doesn't matter. Yeah, you're right, it doesn't matter. So these Jewish believers had to come to that conclusion and had to say, it doesn't matter. Salvation is by God's grace through our faith, period. Nothing else. We can't add to that. And we can't even add to that by kind of practice, like, okay, well, that's true, but you have to cut your hair like me. Or you have to come to this service. Or you have to, you know, okay. No, we can't even have the resemblance of those kind of things. We have to get it. We have to get it before it becomes good news that we will share in to anybody and everybody. Salvation is by God's grace through our faith, period. Not by works, lest any man should boast. All right, question number one, because it attacks how do you get saved. You know, is it the do's and don'ts? The question number two, which I want to talk about in our study in the book of Galatians. So how do we walk in that? If it really is by grace, man, what does that look like in day to day? So I know many of us, get saved and maybe it was a traumatic time in your life. I don't know the circumstances. I know that's not everybody's story. But, this is kind of how we look at it. Oh, man, I got Jesus now. Here's my plan. I'll grow a bit until I get to the finish line. And, man, this is cool, right? This is how it works for everybody, right? This is how it worked for you? Okay. I have a picture of my life so far. It looks more like this. I kind of was getting a little carried away here. I kind of put the shark, jaws coming out here. And this is my version of a little demon ninja when it's raining, kind of hits you when you're in the valley there. Wow. Okay. A little different than I planned. I thought I was saved. I thought I have the Holy Spirit. I thought I had Jesus. You mean I still got trials? Well, actually, trials are really useful, and they're really important. And We're going to get to a study in James in several months, but you know, that starts off with count it joy when you have a trial, because not only do you know that you have Jesus when you're going through it, but it's going to perfect your faith. It's going to finish what God has started in you. So I know when I talk about this, people get worried because maybe you're not going through a trial right now, but don't worry, okay? Your turn will come. So just be patient. Don't feel bad. I don't want to make anyone feel bad, because pretty soon your life will probably look like this. The good news is there is still an upward slope. And if salvation is by God's grace, then guess what? I can be patient with these little valleys, molten lava down there, whatever that is. You know, I can be patient with those, right? Now, when I'm praying, it's usually takes me several minutes to kind of get over this, because I'm kind of, the context of my life is whatever, you know, crater or valley or whatever is going on, the flood, the storm, I'm looking at that. And it takes a while to get your eyes off that onto Jesus. And then guess what? You know, as Peter learned, you can walk on the water when your eyes are on Jesus. If your eyes are on the waves, we're all going to sink. So this is what we do, and this is what happens when we're praying. And if you're being frustrated and you're going, you know, I get it, but I'm really frustrated with my life, it might be because of this. This is called straddling the fence. And I don't know if you can relate to this, but I think my Christianity, for more years than I would like to admit to you, I kind of tried to live with, you know, one foot on this side, you know, the world, and one foot on this side. You know, and I don't know why I did that. It's weird. But I think as I thought about it, you know, I wonder if it was kind of fear. It's like, can I really be all in with God? Will I become weird? You know what it really was, at least for me? It was a fear of rejection. If I'm all in with God and He rejects me, because He really knows me and He'll really know all my sin, and man, that will freak Him out, and He rejects me, then there's nothing left, right? But that fear is ridiculous. Yes, He knows everything about you, and He still went to the cross to sacrifice for you. He loves you that much. So if you struggle with rejection or abandonment or betrayal or any of those things, don't transfer that to God. I know that's why the enemy keeps coming after us with all those tricks, because that's what we ultimately do. But you need to go, wait, God already knows that stuff, and He made a choice to die for me. For me. He loves me that much. So I'm not going to straddle the fence. And by the way, if you do try to straddle the fence, you just kind of get stuck. So if you're feeling stuck, time to go all in, all right? Don't try to live in the world with God. Yeah, my little demon ninja came from the last slide. The enemy loves this, by the way, when you try to live one foot in God and one foot in the world, the enemy's all over that. That's he. You're just playing into his hands. So, all right. So why legalism? Why do people, you know, go for that? Why is that so attractive in these Judaizers, as I told you about? Legalism, here's my definition. It's attempting to win God's favor by our own determined efforts of dedication and obedience. And by the way, these Judaizers were no jokes. They were very devout, super crazy devout. And it's not easy lifestyle. But the fruit of that lifestyle is frustration, bitterness, resentment over our failure to live up to the standards, to the point they just wanted to murder people that didn't agree with them. Now, I don't know about your God, but if your religion distills down to you are so angry you want to kill me, I'm not attracted to your God. I'm not attracted to the religion that you are serving. And it's crazy to me the conflict around the world because of that. You don't agree with me? All right, let's go to war. Like, oh, wow. Craziness. That is not God's character. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, so if you're feeling frustration, if you're feeling bitterness, man, guilt and shame from pretending we are living up to these standards when we are not. You know, I meant to bring a picture of our men's group Saturday morning. If you aren't a friend of Facebook, Freedom River Outreach Facebook page, I think there's a picture up there. But we had not only a good group, but I think a record number of guys Saturday morning. And we didn't really talk about this, but it was so real in that room. Can I emphasize that? Amen. It was so real that every one of those religious demons that might have followed us in is now in Puget Sound screaming because they just flew out of this place. Because we as men just kind of covenanted together. No, we're not pretending anymore. That doesn't work. So, you know, if you want to know me, if you want to love me, great, but you got to know the hot mess that you're, you know, linking arms with, because that's who we are. And I was really proud of each and every man there and the power of that. There's another term that I want to introduce to you. Oh, by the way, all this is self-deception, isn't it? And you sustain it for only so long. Another term that might come up in our attitudes, maybe our study, is instead of legalism, it's labelism. And this is basically pride of ownership for having the right religion. And, you know, it's crazy. But I hope all of you understand that this sneaks around and tries to even come against us. Sometimes we kind of like, oh, well, I go to da-da-da-da, and we do, you know, this. We care for the poor. You know, it's like, you know, that's a good thing. Be careful not to take pride in it. You know, it's a good thing, and do it before the Lord only, period. Don't do it for accolades from man, or there's going to be nothing to show for it. We are who we are because we love Jesus Christ, and His grace has rescued me. And because that is such a cool thing, I want to tell others and see God's grace rescue them. That's it. Don't need to take pride in it, but of course it happens quickly, it happens easily, and it's pride, it creates pride, a smugness, a self-righteousness, which is going to be a lack of God's power. And that's what we were talking about as men. You know, we're kind of tired of being stuck. We don't have God's power to go all in. And so we're saying, you know what? We're going to throw every pride, every, you know, fear of being known out the window, because we need God's power to be all in. And again, just like legalism, this is just a different version of self-deception. All right. So I hope you're ready for this. We're going to take a little walk quickly down the first chapter of Galatians, which starts with a greeting. This letter is from Paul, same guy that we are following in the book of Acts, even though Acts is written by Luke. I was not appointed by any group of people or human authority. Oh, by the way, he uses a very important title here, an apostle. And he's setting a stage here to say, I have the authority to tell you the things I told you. I need to paraphrase this, catch up on some time here. I wasn't taught by human authority. Jesus himself revealed himself to me. And this is to all the brothers and sisters. Here, join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. And this is a great greeting and a great prayer blessing we could pray over ourselves and each other. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Two very important components. If you're lacking those, don't go away too fast after church. Let us pray grace and peace over you. Verse 4, Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. This is evidence of the spiritual realm. This is evidence of the spiritual battle that all of us are in. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. wow, this guy can write. What a great salutation. What a great beginning to a letter. Okay, I'm feeling warm. I'm feeling fuzzy. Look at this next paragraph. It comes hard. I am shocked. I have to lean over here. I'm shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Wow. Hi, Paul. Nice to hear from you. Boom. I'm shocked that so quickly you are being fooled. I can relate to this. I can relate to both sides of this. And that is one thing that drew me to let's go through Galatians, because I want a life of consistency. And I'm going to keep preaching that, and I'm going to keep speaking that over you. Consistency isn't a real flashy message, is it? It's like, what'd you learn in church today? I need to be consistent. Whoa. Okay. Why consistent? Well, that's the power of God. And people are watching. And somebody paid me a compliment this last week. I can't remember who it was. But they said they knew when they were out there doing knucklehead things that I was down here praying, serving God, believing for them, and that when they were done with their knucklehead experience, they could come back here and I would be here. I'm like, well, thanks for telling me that. That is something that drives my ministry. And sometimes I look around and I see an empty chair and I'm like, oh man, you know, that can be scary when somebody disappears. But I'm like, you know what? I'm not here for them. I'm here to serve God and be here when God deals with them and brings them back, gets their butt back in the chair, and God's dealing with them, right? God's the Holy Spirit, not me. And so to me, that was a compliment of that kind of consistency. And by the way, church, that's, I think, one of our number one weapons. We do some really amazing things, but just to do them once or twice, there's no power in that. A year from now to be doing these things, 5 years from now to be doing these same things, there's power in that. People can say, oh, well, you're just doing that, or da-da-da-da, you know, whatever. They come up with crazy thoughts. But no, that doesn't play out when you say, no, I've been serving, I've been doing this. This is our 10th year now as a church, and several years before that ministry. So, yeah, consistency, church, is a big, big deal. And not only is the false gospel, here's Paul saying they're deliberately doing this. He says, let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you, and that is salvation by God's grace. So this is a big deal. This is important. This is really strong language. Paul would not be using this language if it was like, okay, well, we disagree on, you know, what color carpet we should have in the church. No, this is like, hey, this is a false gospel designed to hurt people, designed to ruin people, and to keep them from that rescue that God freely offers to everyone. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be cursed. Freedom can be a difficult situation to manage. And think about that a minute, because freedom, when God gives us freedom, he's like saying, you're free to walk away. You're free to not receive my free gift. That's real freedom. Kind of messes with your brain, doesn't it? It's like, well, wait a minute. Isn't legalism a little more comfortable? I just got to do this, got to do that. You know what? Freedom means it's not by works. And you are free to disagree. You are free to walk away from a loving God. And I don't get it, but I know people do that. Man may realize the need for salvation, but pride tempts us with a lie. We can save ourselves, and that's where the works come in. You know, let me just be more religious. Let me just, you know, say hallelujah and amen more times. You know, whatever it is, we got to be careful that it's not works that substitutes our relationship with Jesus Christ. We love God's grace, which is his forgiveness, when we need it.
And that's the Luke 4:18 and 19 passage that we kind of live by, and it's the concept of God's jubilee. It's his favor over all of us. But when we turn towards God, he gives us this forgiveness by his grace through Christ Jesus. And I'm using this concept of turn because that's really what repentance is. If you are walking in this direction, you stop, you turn, now you've repented and you walk back towards God. Now, to try to earn your salvation, to try to do it by works, you have to turn away from God's grace. Do you see what's going on? You're turning away from God to anything other than God's grace through faith is turning you away from God towards condemnation. The gospel, the good news that God is kind, tolerant, and patient with us in order to turn us from our wickedness towards him. And I don't have time to go through this, but in Romans, I want you to see, I'll go down to the last verse. Can't you see that it's his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? This is one of God's strategies. It's not do's and don'ts. It's not, oh, you messed up, let me lower the hammer. It's God's patience. It's God's love. It's God's kindness, designed to turn all of us from our sin toward him. Now, if God's doing this for me, I need to be able to do this for you. If I do this for you, you need to be able to do it for you. And if someone does this for you, you need to be able to do it for someone else. What this means, what I'm saying is, we got to stop holding each other to some kind of religious standard. We just need to say, you know what? I'm going to walk in God's grace. Now, you may be thinking, oh, is he saying we can sin? No, I'm not saying that. And by the way, you wouldn't be the first to think that. Scripture actually addresses that. Paul will teach, hey, God's grace does mess with your mind, and you may think, so I can sin more, so his grace can abound more. And he says, no, absolutely not. That is just showing the evil in your heart that you actually think that way. No. If you are really turning towards God with every step, your sin will disgust you. As you really are turning towards God, you don't have to have the behavior police follow you around and tell you what's right or what's wrong. As you are getting closer to God, the stuff that you used to like actually live for and think was so important now looks like vomit to you. So my job, our job, needs to be forget policing behaviors. Let's get people closer and closer and closer to God. And then guess what? His righteousness will flow through us. And this is the most practical way I know to teach how not to be a fence sitter. The most practical way I know how to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit is get more passionate, get closer to God. Okay, well, Pastor, shouldn't you be talking about reading your Bible more and praying more? And I'm like, yes, but I don't want to lead with that because that can become a work as well. I think that's going to naturally happen. As I get closer to God, I'm going to want to hear his voice. I'm going to want to be in his word. I'm going to actually have a hunger for it. It's going to be a want to, not have to. And talk about the power between the difference between those two. If I'm living my life because I want to, wow, that's sustainable. If I'm living some kind of a life in front of you because I think I have to, probably not sustainable. Probably just a matter of time before there's no power in that. All right, self-righteousness actually condemns ourselves. This is God's patience. And read Romans 2, make that a life verse, because you need the context of all of it to understand what's going on. So I want to remain turned towards God. How about you? I think for 2020, this is your heart. I've been hearing it. It's definitely my heart. All right, I'm going to skip through this, but basically, Paul says, I spoke some harsh words to you. I'm not trying to get your approval. Well, this is one of our values, and we have this published on our website. If you aren't aware of that, and we're a non-denominational church and trying to say, well, gee, I would like to know your theology, which is fair, by the way. It's listed for you on our website, as well as this value. We believe the pursuit of full devotion to Christ and his cause, all right, I underline that. It's not underlined in our website. This is my emphasis. But I underline that for us because, man, I have to remind myself about this. It's not an organization. It's not like, oh, Freedom River Outreach. No, it's his cause. We're just a small little picture in that mosaic of what God is doing globally. And the second I can keep my perspective on his kingdom and what he's doing, everything works here. The second I'm like, oh, let's build a little organization here. No, nothing works. So we believe that the pursuit and full devotion of Christ and his cause is normal for every believer. This allows us to be patient with real people while being uncompromising to God's word. You can be both, all right? It's not one or the other. This includes areas of stewardship, servanthood, and pursuit of kingdom goals. And again, you can get online and look up all those verses. It's on freedomriver.net. All right, I'm going to have to put a bookmark here. We're out of time, and we'll come back. But let me skip to the end here. This is the end of chapter 1. After that visit, I went north in the provinces of Syria, and still the Christians in the churches in Judea didn't know me personally. And he's talking to these Galatians about his missionary journey, but I thought this was really good for us. All they knew was that people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. This is overlaid on us. All of us, at one time, were God's enemy, which means we were destroying or definitely a detriment to his kingdom. God changed our lives. Now we have the privilege of actually building up God's kingdom. And some of you that think I was the worst and I did the most damage, you need to know you have the highest call on you. Because I want all of your zeal. I want all of your determination. I want all of your so-called skills that you used in the world. Right? I mean, think of how determined you were. Think of how clever. Think of what you accomplished illicitly. I want all of that flipped for God. I want all of that applied with the creativity, with the whatever it takes type attitude, with the I don't care about the cost, right? You had all that. I want all of that now working for God's kingdom. Think we can change Tacoma with a few misfits gathered on a Sunday afternoon? I think so. God is in the business of changing lives. Marcia, you have prayer points for us for 2020. You want to hand them out right now? Or are they already handed out? Okay. Ushers have them. Okay. So we have some usher-type guys in the back there that have prayer points for 2020, which are going to be talking about breakthrough, which are going to be talking about overcoming fear, we're going to change our lives. God's already begun, and we're going to see what God does in our city through us. Let's stand and let me pray that over you. So grab those prayer points. As many of us are starting a fast tomorrow, we want to use any extra time we have to pray through those prayer points, so keep them with you. And remember, Tuesday morning we'll be here for the 6 a.m. prayer. So, God, I for one thank you that you are in the business of changing lives. I know the world contests that. I know the world doesn't believe that. But we're walking proof. And God, there is consistency in that. I know people are constantly moving from unbelief to belief. Just as Paul gave testimony, he says, I was so opposite I was one that persecuted Christians. I was one that would put them in chains and bring them to trial to be condemned and killed. And God flip-flopped my life, turned it so radically around that now I'm the one that doesn't care about being persecuted myself. I'm the one that doesn't care about the cost of furthering the gospel. I'm going to preach the gospel. And it caused unbelievers to praise God. Well, I'm speaking that over your life, faithful one. Receive this title. You are going to cause unbelievers to praise the living God. Receive this. I'm speaking it over you. This is not for the person next to you, behind you. I'm speaking to you. You have the Spirit of the living God in you. And because of that, you are not a fence sitter, but you are an overcomer. And as you determine to be all in, that is evidence of an amazing faith. And it's faith that has saved you. It's faith that will conquer the grave. It's faith that will advance God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So Lord, I pray that you would protect and provide for every one of these amazing world changers. Lord, fill us. Fill us with more determination, with more hope, with more vision, with more of you, Holy Spirit. We love you, God. And we don't fear 2020. We actually, with excitement, proceed to what you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. The whole church together said, amen. Amen. Thanks for coming to church today. Get your prayer points as you go out. If you'd like to check out any of Kathy's books, come forward. If you'd like prayer, come forward.